Welcome to Hope Chapel. You're about to listen to Andrew Cole.
I'm still in the same vein of wanting to keep on encouraging everyone, to encourage you in your faith. I have just felt it so overwhelmingly to keep pouring into your lives faith, hope, and encouragement. I want to, this morning, I just have so much love in my heart for you. I just want to love on you this morning and keep preaching goodness and the promises of God. That's just my heart this morning. I just want to keep on encouraging you. No, I want to keep building your faith and keep building your faith and keep building your faith. I want to stand here and encourage you in every season of your life, every circumstance that you're in. I want to encourage you to go to God, to go to His Word, to continue to allow your faith to be built and to use your faith. Use the faith that you have a deposit of in your life and start standing firm and standing strong so that no matter what comes your way, when it comes or how it comes, whether it's seasonal or unseasonal, that you can stand firm, that you can just have that resolve in you, that your stature is strong, that you can look these things in the eye and say, not today, not today. So I just want to have another message that keeps encouraging me. And if you are sick of being encouraged, let me know, because there's plenty of other things that we can preach on that can tear that to pieces, if you like. But I think you'd much rather to be encouraged, yeah? Turn to the person next to you so I know you're awake and say, let me be encouraged today. So I want to look at a verse from Micah today where the prophet Micah expresses a resolute determination among trials and tribulations. Let's just give you a little bit of thing on the book of Micah, a little bit of info. In the book of Micah, he addresses the social injustices and moral decay present in Israel, in both the northern and the southern area, because it was split in Israel and Judah, warning of an impending judgment due to the people's sins, such as idolatry and exploitation of the poor and the threat of invasion of the Assyrians. And Micah emphasizes God's desire for justice, mercy, and humility. Summarizing the essence of the law in Micah 6, where it says, what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. To act justly, to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. In the latter part of the text, it also conveys a message of hope. Throughout the whole chapters, there is a judgment and a hope, a judgment and a hope, a judgment and a hope. Prophesying the future restoration of Israel and the coming of a ruler from Bethlehem who will bring peace and security through graphic imagery, strong moral exhortation, and a vision of hope. Micah portrays the character of God and His covenant with His people. So that's a bit of a summary of the book of Micah. It's a lot deeper than that, and there's a lot of stuff in that, but I'm not coming and explaining the book of Micah this morning. I want to talk about Micah. I want to focus on one verse and I want to apply it to our lives and to see that you can have some three areas that you can take away this morning, that you can make some declarations in your own circumstances, because it's important to make a declaration, a stand that'll make you strong and keep a resolve about you. So in the course of our lives, we can often encounter moments that test our faith and resolve. Is anybody here that's ever had their faith tested? Anybody? Two, three, four. Out there as well, that's good. Micah gives us a resounding message. He says this, but for me, I'm not giving up. Turn to the person next to you if you want to and say, but for me, I'm not giving up. If you don't want to say that, don't say it. If you don't mean it, don't say it. So I want to have a look at three vital actions that we can take from a verse that I'll read out in a minute, where our lives encounter moments that test our faith and resolve. Albeit probably a lot different than Micah's mission, but I talk to people. I hear people's stories. I heard one even the other day that breaks my heart, because I can hear the faith being tested in someone's life about their family. And I hear the heartbreak of a grandmother. I can hear a heartbreak of a mother that is desperately wanting to stay true and to stay strong in their faith, even though there's chaos around her. And I love that she can stand strong in that and not give up, not to give up, because she can say, but for me, I'm not giving up. I'm going to stand true and I'm going to stand strong. Let's not have a faith that is weak, that gets tossed to and fro, that gets, when the winds blow, when discouragement comes, when pain comes, when truth comes, which hurts, you don't just go swaying around in the breeze being tossed to and fro like a boat in a stormy sea. But you can have some resolve and some firmness about and strength about your faith. Not in your own, but in the declarations that you make. I want to encourage you from this verse this morning, in Micah 7, verse 7. I've chosen to read it out of the Message version this morning. But me, I'm not giving up. I'm sticking around to see what God will do. I'm waiting for God to make things right, and I'm counting on God to listen to me. We're going to be talking about sticking, waiting, and counting this morning. See, in the midst of those, we can make declarations of perseverance, declarations that make you so determined that it holds you to account, a declaration of perseverance that makes you so determined that it holds you to account on your belief, on your strength, on your place, on your stature. So the first is I'm sticking. Everyone say, I'm sticking. In our worlds that are ever-changing and filled with uncertainties and surprises, is anyone else's world like that? It might just be mine, but I need to know. I've got some friends here this morning. Is your world ever-changing? Is it ever filled with uncertainties and surprises? Surprises are sometimes good, but sometimes not so good. The first step in our declaration of perseverance is to stick to our faith and our foundation in Christ. To stick to your faith and your foundation in Christ. I received a really sad text message last night. It was, I can't go into it at all. But there was somebody that hasn't stuck to their faith or their foundation in Christ. See, it's not just that person, it's that person's world that gets affected when they don't stick to their faith and their foundation in Christ. When they strive for their own agenda, when they strive for their own notoriety, for their own position, for their own place, for their own power. I'm being candid and blunt this morning, but that's actually what it is. And that's where it affects so much. And the trip back from that is so difficult, because they put so many hurdles in the way when that decision gets made. So my heart for this person is to deeply pray for them that God can do some amazing things and reverse it and change it so quickly. because I only see a bad road ahead with the choices that have been made. So when Micah declares, but for me, he is affirming his commitment to God despite the chaos surrounding him. I remember the hardest time of my faith life, the very hardest moment in my faith life. It was at a time when we found ourselves as a family with no home, not physical home, but a spiritual home. And it was the most gut-wrenching time and soul-destroying time. And I remember being quiet because I didn't have the words to express. I didn't know what to say to my family. I didn't know what to say to my children. I didn't know what to say to Hudson that was only this high, who was still bouncing around off the walls. I didn't know what to say. Hey, son, it's going to be okay. Hey, we'll be all right. And I was silent in that time because I had no words. And I know that I had to look deeper and deeper than I've ever looked before. I had to determine where my faith was at and what my declaration or my commitment to my faith was. I'd been a Christian for 25 years. And it came to this moment of standing at my front door as I watched my family walk in. It was that moment. I still remember it like it was only yesterday, even though it was 17 years ago. I still remember it. And I remember these words. But for me. But for me. We will serve our God. That I was going to find myself in the house of the Lord every single Sunday. And it was the very place that I felt had hurt me. I didn't want to go into the ins and outs of it all. I didn't want to resolve anything other than that one thing. And sometimes when we're in that place, all you can do is, but for me. That's all the words that you can muster up. And it's all the words, it's those three words that can absolutely transform your life. It can set you on a path of reconciliation and peace. But I don't know that I can say that. It set me on a path that made me more determined to fight for my faith, regardless of what was happening around me. The storms that were raging, some that I caused, some that I didn't. Words that were spoken, words to tear down, not to build up. Words to destroy, not to add. Words just to take away. Actions to destroy. And I know I'm sounding dramatic, but look in your own lives. There'll be moments, there'll be times when one or all of those things that you'll find in your own life. What resolve, what declaration do you have? Do you say, woe is me? Do you say, I'm going to turn my back even though I have this truth in my heart? Well, what did I do? What did you do? What are you going to do? Because maybe you haven't experienced it yet. And I don't mean to be a prophet of doom. But your faith will be tested. Your resolve will be tested in moments either you cause or you don't cause. Moments will come. But for me, sticking to your belief. It's just like a tree that is planted by the water. It doesn't fear the drought. We must genuinely root ourselves deeply into the knowledge of God's promises. They have been my source of late. I make no secret of that. I have been plowing through the promises of God. I have been speaking the promises of God into the depths of my heart. And I have found it to be my source. We must, you must, hold fast to your beliefs and not waver when faced with challenges. Romans 4 reminds us of Abraham's unwavering faith. In the book of Micah, it makes mention of this covenant of Abraham, but it's not where I was leaning to. It just happens that's the scripture I was going to use this morning. But Abraham's unwavering faith, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. See, the promises of God, if you don't waver, if you believe in them and you sow them deep into your heart, they will strengthen your faith and give glory, and you will give glory to God for them. Sticking to your community. This is a 50-50 one. I'll have 50% of you on this one and 50% of you not. Never mind. I can't do much about that. Sticking to community. Hebrews 10, it urges us as believers to not give up meeting together, but to stir up one another to love and good works. Our role to meet together is to stir one another up, to encourage one another, to stir up the gifts of God that God has placed with inside of you. Because we don't hand out the gifts. If you're not sure about that, we don't hand out the gifts. God gives us the gifts and the talents in our lives. Our role, see, God lights the fire in our hearts. Our role for one another is to fan them into a flame, to recognize people's gifts and talents that they've been sown into by their God, and to fan them into a flame. And how can you do it if you're not meeting together? Text message? Social media? I am, this is a pet dislike. Can I just take a little sideward step here? Everyone's going, no, don't do it. Think about it. I've already thought about it, but it's too late. It's already there. I love encouragement on social media. But man. Yeah. It's counterfeit. It's counterfeit. It's done with a great heart. But to me, I'm not saying you have to believe what I say in this, but to me it's counterfeit. Because I want to walk up to someone and I want to stir up the gift inside. I want to walk up to Kat and say, Kat, thank you for being a part of our community. You are wonderful. You are talented. You are strong. You are brave and you are courageous and you love Formula One. So that means you are amazing. Who do you like? Oh. Yeah, you stand firm in your belief. Jesus, help her. Yeah, at least it's not Lando. Yeah, okay. Everyone else doesn't like phone ones, all switched off. Jared, welcome back to... Jared drove a car. What sort of car was it? A Formula what? A Formula 3 on the Abu Dhabi... Abu Dhabi track. Didn't you? You overtook Max Verstappen in the guise of Mark Gerber, but you overtook everyone on the track and you won, didn't you? That's right. That's so... I went to something whilst he was overseas and I'm texting him. He goes, oh, I'm so jealous. Like, dude, nothing. You're traveling the world racing Formula One. I'm watching, you know, geriatrics on the stage and yeah, whatever. I'm jealous. Yeah, you are. Acts 2 says this, where the early church is described as being devoted to fellowship and prayer. Devoted, fully committed, devoted to fellowship and to prayer. You know, it's something just to attend, but there's a whole lot of difference to be devoted to something, to not see the value in your community, in this community. Sometimes it's hard being the pastor because you don't want to promote this community. Well, I want to promote this community. This community's great. You people are amazing. There are people that have needs that I don't know about, that this church gathers around people, and you only hear about it sometimes when everything's resolved, which is fantastic. But the way people stand together and love one another, you know, the Grahams is so open to, even emotionally open to understanding that there are needs and allow God to speak to him and to put something into place like 100-to-1 where he can bless people. The whole thing is about blessing people. How can he do that if we don't meet together? How can we do that? Our lives involve not just individual commitment, but also standing firm with our church family. In times of distress, let us lean on one another, encouraging and uplifting each other. And when we surround ourselves with fellow believers, we can find strength and resilience. You know, isolation has good and bad side to it. Isolation, when you're alone with God, is awesome, yeah? Sometimes you are called to go and be by yourself with your God. And you deal with things in your life before your God. Other times, it's a tool in the hands of the enemy to isolate you from your fellow believers, your brothers and sisters that can stand with you and help and pray with you, can go through the rough times, can hold your hands up when you can't hold them up anymore, can rejoice when you're rejoicing and mourn when you're mourning. When you buy a brand new boat, it might be materialistic, but why can't you be happy for someone if that's their thing? And someone gives you a boat. That's even better. That is so godly. That's amazing. Like, imagine giving someone a brand new, like a boat with a brand new motor on it that just goes like crazy. Imagine that. Pete. A shirt like that, you shouldn't even have a boat, man. Like, what are you wearing, man? That is amazing. You turn the lights down. The next point is this is meant to be a half serious message too, by the way. People chortling. The second point is I am waiting. Everyone say, I am waiting. I am waiting for something good. No, I am waiting. Waiting is perhaps one of the most difficult challenges that we face. See, in Micah's lament, there's an underlying call to patient hope. And we can often find ourselves in seasons where answers to prayer seem delayed, yeah? Anyone suffered one of those seasons or suffering in one of those seasons? And hope feels elusive. Yet, in waiting, we discover growth and trust. See, waiting with purpose, it just leans yourself to the pin-up verse of the Bible, Isaiah 40, where it says, it offers this promise, but those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. It's more than just something for your screensaver. It's something for you to sow and burn on the tablets of your heart and understand that it's not just a nice scripture, that it has so much power behind it. Waiting is not passive. It's a time for renewal and preparation. It's time when we are about something, about going deeper in the things of God. God works in the waiting, shaping our character and deepening our faith. You need the wait times. waiting in silence. Psalm 62 says, "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him." Sometimes the loud clamour of life, the rumbles of thunder, the rushing wind, the howling breezes, the rain pelting down, the lightning claps, it can distract us from hearing God's voice. In our waiting, let us practice silence and intentional prayer. When you still your heart, we allow something to happen. We allow space for God to speak and guide our paths. See, I've learned this about space. See, space takes time. Space takes time and it takes trust. Trust in the Lord, because you may think you have no time, but we have all the time God wants us to have. See, for me, that's my revelation about space. I've hurried God in the spaces. I said, "God, here's your space, hurry up. God, here's your space, but I don't have much time, but here's what I have." God remains silent until we come to a place that space, and that you understand that space takes time and it takes trust. And the trust in the Lord gives you all the time that God wants you to have. It's really, really important. And the third one is, I'm counting. Everyone say, "I'm counting." In its original meaning, counting means to reckon or to tell. Micah's declaration leads us to the importance of counting our blessings and remembering God's faithfulness. It's in a time of despair, it is easy to overlook the goodness that is around us, that is around you, even in your current situation right now. I could name people right now. I could name people like Laura and Mackenzie. There are others that I just know. Don't overlook the goodness that is around you. But counting reminds you of the evidence of God's loving presence in your lives. It's why we want to continue to have our Thanksgiving services, so we can stop for a moment and say, "Hey, we're not going to rush past this. We're going to stop and we're going to give thanks." It'll be sewn into the fabric of this church. It doesn't matter whether our theme is season or anything else. Every single season, we're going to celebrate. Every time, we're going to have a Thanksgiving dinner. I don't care if we have to make Vegemite sandwiches or bung fritz and sauce. Yeah, look at everyone. We will have a Thanksgiving service, which reminds us and helps us understand that our God is a good God, that we have so much to be thankful for in the midst sometimes of chaos. Counting your blessings. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Praise be to to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus," and the guys can come up now, "Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Take time to reflect on the blessings that you have received. Write them down. Tell them, because that's what counting means. Go and tell them with others, and let the acknowledgement of God's provision nourish your soul. It'll help others. But you telling and reckoning those and counting them nourishes your soul, nourishes you in your faith, in your gratefulness to God. It builds your faith. When you start to stop and think, yeah, God is good. We go to God, and that's why I've flipped the way I'm viewing things. And it's difficult, because the first thing you want to do is, "Oh, that's the issue I've got to sort out there. That's what I've got to do there." But what about all the great things God's doing? Why do we overlook them? Because they're good news? Because they're the good things? I'm rejoicing this morning because Kenno's found a house here in Gawler that his heart's been yearning to come back. His heart, I've felt his heartache on the phone, and I feel helpless because I can't click my fingers and make it happen. But now I'm grateful, and there'll be thanksgiving in my heart that he can come back here and he can be a part of this and he can bless your lives with his honesty and his openness. And you can watch those two get in trouble with one another and have fun together, and you can see what iron sharpens iron does. See, Mick will hold Kano accountable and vice versa. They'll challenge one another. See, Kano puts his life in Mick's hands on a motorcycle racing around tracks at some ridiculous amounts of speed when they were younger. And they've learned that in the natural, and now they're doing it in the spiritual. What a blessing. What an absolute blessing that is. I trust that you both will never forget that. I trust Mick don't ever grow familiar with it, because one day it won't be there and you'll have to wait until we go to be with our good Lord. But while we've got it, let it be told. Let it be counted. Let it be telling other people why you need people, why you need one another. You're not gods in each other's lives. You're friends doing a journey together, doing ordered steps together. That's why we need one another. That's why you need people. I know sometimes it can be challenged or a challenge, but you need people. Counting God's faithfulness, 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful. Everyone say, God is faithful. By whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. As we recount our blessings, we also remember God's past faithfulness. The same God who has delivered and provided in the past will continue to do so in the now and in the future. I want us to hold on to the truth as our anchor, knowing that he defines our tomorrow, that he defines your tomorrow. So in the face of life's adversities and good things, let us boldly declare, use your voice, believers. Use your voice, children of God. Use your voice, saints of God. Use your voices. But for me, I am not giving up. By sticking to our faith, waiting with purpose, and counting our blessings, we can stand firm in the knowledge that God is with us every step of the way, every ordered step of the way. If we can take on the spirit of Micah this morning, trusting in God's plan and influencing the world around us with our unwavering resilience, may we encourage one another as we take each ordered step through this thing that we're all on called life. And may our lives be a testament to the strength found in Christ and no one else. So that's my encouragement to you today. And I want to leave you with a blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. May God bless each and every one of you this morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message this week.